The scripture lesson for today is the 23rd Psalm. It's interesting to me that in the lectionary, those suggested scriptures for this day would include the 23rd Psalm on Mother's Day. For mothers are indeed shepherds, guides, mentors to children. And I think we get a better glimpse of God as we reflect on mothers on the same day that we reflect on how God uses mothers in shaping of our lives. Will you sit back and listen again to these familiar words that speak to us? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. If you are fortunate enough to have a mother sitting close to you within reach, would you reach over and just squeeze the hand of your mother? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we are here today in this house of joy, in this place of your presence. I pray that everyone here today, visitor, regular alike, would experience your presence and would know that that warmth they feel in their heart comes from you, a warmth that extends to family members, to friends, to fellow church people. We ask that you be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting to me that on this day that we celebrate Mother's Day, that the larger church, the denomination, has a second designation for this day. Besides Mother's Day, it's also the celebration of the Christian home or the festival of the Christian home. And I think a part of that is in recognition that on this day that we all honor mothers, there have been varying degrees of experiences. Some of you did not have the opportunity to grow up with a mother. Some of you didn't have the opportunity to be influenced by a mother. And I find that God uses the blessing of other people, sometimes in those cases, to give us the love and the support we need. Friends, family. And today we focus on mothers, but keep in mind how God reaches us through teachers, neighbors. Sometimes grandparents have filled the role of mother or father. So on this day, let us look towards God as I share with you different stories. I want to begin today by sharing just a little bit about a man who years ago lived in Arizona. His name was Raul Castro. Born in Mexico, in Sonora, grew up in Arizona, was a good student. His family moved to Arizona, and he was an excellent student, became a lawyer. After receiving his law degree and passing the bar, it took every bit of money that he and his family had to get through school. He had nothing. A friend from law school came up to him and said, "You need to open your law office. And I just know because I'm your friend that you don't have anything. So just, I want to give you $500. And this was way back in 1914 or so, and $500 was enough to open a law office. He said this: "If you ever are successful and can pay me back, pay me back. And if you can't, you can't. But here." Raul Castro went on to become a judge. He was the Superior Court judge in Pima County. Went on to run for governor and was elected governor of Arizona. He also, besides that, was appointed by President Johnson to be ambassador to El Salvador, and then later appointed by President Carter to be ambassador to Bolivia and to Argentina. Raul Castro was enabled, encouraged by a friend. And I think about how all of us have those kind of opportunities to influence and support others, both in church and outside of church. Now, a word about family. A young woman who remains anonymous in a story that she wrote talks about, for us, a Mother's Day story. For she was a young mother and she had a baby. And like so many of us, parents and kids might live in different states. So after she had the baby, it wasn't until the baby was about a month old that she was able to visit her parents. And this was what she wrote. "I had my baby. I was visiting my parents. My husband had to work, so it was just me and the baby and mom and dad in the house where I grew up. And she says, I got to sleep in my old bed in my bedroom. And mom and dad had brought in a crib and put the crib close by. And she said, it was just sort of a new experience being a mother in my parents' house with my baby and experiencing my parents as grandparents for the first time. And then she said this: sometime during the night, she heard shuffling down the hallway, and it was her father. And then she heard her mother's voice say, 'Hey, honey, it's cold out tonight. Make sure you tuck in the baby.'" And so this young mother heard that, and she said, she wrote, "I'm going to fake being asleep because I want to see my dad interact with the baby and tuck in the baby." So she was there in her bed, the same bed she was a teenager, and she was pretending to be asleep. And dad came into the room, and he didn't go to the baby. He went to her bed, and he tucked in his daughter and simply went back down the hall and to bed. And for this young mother, she realized something. As she fully anticipated that dad would come and tuck in her baby, dad came in and tucked in his baby. And mom realized, "I will always be daddy's little girl." And for her, mom and dad were always going to be her mom and dad. And so this leads us to thinking about all the different emotions we have on this day. For we remember our mothers. And for so many of us, our mothers are not present. And we remember them warmly on this day. And for those of you whose mothers are present, what a blessing you have today. So on this day, we think about the mothers that we had. We think about the children that we have, and children think of their mothers. It's also a time to think about spouses, and I think about my wife and what an incredible mother she is. I had an uncle who, on Mother's Day, never gave my aunt, he was my godfather, my uncle's my godfather and my godmother, he never gave her a card or anything on Mother's Day. And when we asked him about that, he would say, well, why should I give her a card? She's not my mother. But when you parent with somebody and you see what a mother does and you see the love and the impact of a mother, another story. I'm just the one standing here with a mic, so I can tell all the stories about my family I want to. It's Mother's Day. I can do this. Hannah, who came up here and invited to the party, the other night, this last week, she had an awards assembly at her school. And she's been working for months with Mom, not me, with Mom, on college applications, college scholarships, filling out the government FAFSA form. Those things are a pain in the neck. You have to use your taxes. And they've been doing this for months. So the other night, we had this award assembly, and Hannah said to Debbie before the assembly, she said, Mom, if I get any awards, whatever I get, it's because of you. Thank you. And she did. She got a whole bunch of awards. Megan graduated from Grand Canyon, Sigma Cum Laude. Schools want her to be a teacher, and in all of that, her successes, and the one thing that she does that melts Mom's heart is when she refers to Debbie as Mommy. Just the word Mommy. Sorry, Debbie's losing it now. Mothers have an influence, like grandmothers and teachers and neighbors and friends. The influence we have on other people, we can never minimize, because people's lives are changed and redirected because of love. In Connecticut, in the community of Mystic, a young man grew up by the name of Robert Whittle. Robert Whittle was a sharp student, went to West Point, to the military academy, and he graduated from there. He was in a special training program to be a battalion commander of a construction a group. And he was in his training in that area with 60 other West Point graduates, all second lieutenants, all preparing for their assignments. And Robert came home to have dinner with his mom and dad. And those conversations are always so special. Our four daughters, whenever three of them are away and there's just one of them with mom and dad, those are always special times, because we can have those conversations and one of four can be special that night. And so Robert was having dinner with his parents. And his parents had always been so supportive. You can do it. Go to college. Go to West Point. You can do it. And always so supportive. And so he was sitting with them and said, Mom, Dad, I something else I want to try. I just want to share with you. I want to look into the Army Rangers and to see if I can do that. And he said that for the first time, he felt a different kind of feeling in the room and a different response from his mom. And she said, no. I've read about young men who died in that program trying to be an Army Ranger. And he said, well, yeah, Mom, there's risk. That I hear that you, in certain periods of time, you eat one meal, sleep 3 hours. You're learning how to infiltrate enemy lines and pull off a mission on the other side. It's like the ultimate in training and responsibility and accomplishment. He said, Mom, I just want to try. And she said, no, I don't think that's a good idea. And the conversation ended that way. He went back to his training knowing that his parents, especially his mother, did not want him to be an Army Ranger. So during the course of things, he went to a briefing on the Army Ranger program and heard this, that out of his group of 60 who were being trained for their deployment and responsibilities, out of that group of 60, they would take 6 applications for the Army Ranger program. Out of all of them, only 6 would be selected. When he heard that, it was staggering to him. He called up his mom and dad, had them both on the phone, and he said, Mom and Dad, this will make you happy. I'm not going to be an Army Ranger. The odds against me are just so great. They only take 6 out of 60. And everybody in my class, they're all smart. They're all intelligent, trained. He said, I don't have a prayer, so just want to let you know. He said the most interesting thing happened. Mom's countenance changed. And she would later say that there's something far more dangerous than Ranger training, and that was to see her child lose his dream, lose his goal, lose his ambition. And so she said to him on the phone, oh, don't worry about it. You can do it. You can do it. Now just get to work, put your nose to the grindstone. You can do this thing. And totally surprised by Mom's change, he had the confidence to try again. And the process took several weeks, and then it culminated with this. They were getting on buses to go someplace, and he was doing something, so he was the last one on the bus. When he got on the bus, his classmates were there in the bus, and someone shouted in the back, hey, Kettle, did you get the word? They're not selecting anyone from the construction battalions on that list of 6. He was floored, and he looked at the bus. It's sort of like me standing here before you. All eyes were on him in the bus, because everyone on the bus wanted to see his reaction. He just received this devastating news, and he paused. And the only thing he could say was, somebody better tell the commander, because my mother says I am going to be a ranger. Someone on that bus shared with the faculty of the training program, and the word got up to the officers in charge, and the word got up to the commander. Just a week later, there was a notice. There's a revision in the list of 6. And Robert Kettle's name was number 6. He always felt, commander was just afraid of my mother. I think this is why the story of the shepherd is used on Mother's Day. Because mothers have that ability to instill in their kids support for the dreams that they have. And parents become their kids' biggest fans and supporters. I think it's appropriate that the 23rd Psalm is linked with Mother's Day. I remember as a kid, sitting about in the front row. Mom was in the choir, so she couldn't do anything about what us kids did. And I was sitting with my cousins, and we thought it would be pretty cool to play commandos in church during the sermon. So we went from the front row to the back row commando style, under the pews. My cousin and we went by, and we were looking at all the women's different shoes during the sermon, and we made it all the way out to the back. I sort of knew what would happen. Mom met me out in the narthex. She just said, "Wait till we get home." And I remember the thing I hated about a SWAT was that Mom would grab my hand as a little fry. She'd grab my hand and jerk it up in the air, and the SWAT was coming. But the part I hated the most was the arm thing up in the air. I shared that story last night at our chapel service. And one by one, as people were coming out the door, I heard similar stories. Everybody had a story. Some form of correction that left an impact or changed a life, a word of support, a word of encouragement. For all you music people, you've heard me say that I played the saxophone in elementary school. Mom made me play in front of the whole church. She thought it would be a good thing. She never asked me again. Let us understand that whether it's through a friend who would offer us $500 because they believed in us, or parents who would tuck in their child because their baby will always be their baby, or a mother who would forgo her own fears in order to support her child's dream, the impact of a mother, the impact of friends and family all contribute to who we are. And what this story says to me is that Mom put a lot of love into me. And then life put a lot of responsibility on Debbie and I. And we put our love into our kids. And at some point, they will be the mothers, and they will be the teachers and the encouragers and the supporters of others. And that's the way it works. So on this day, we appreciate our families, our friends, and especially our mothers. Amen? Amen. Amen.